Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to do some book reviews today on the program. The first up is My Shadows of Death. And the author is Joy Burney, and she is the wife of Bob Burney, who is the radio drive time talk show host in the Salem station in Columbus, Ohio, for many years. Also, she is co-founder of Cross Power Ministries, in which she and Bob travel across the state and actually in multiple states with their ministry and marriage counseling seminars and preaching and singing ministry. And many people have enjoyed them over the years. She wrote this book to show how resurrection is possible after the valleys of death. Joy and her husband, Bob, have been in ministry for nearly 50 years. Born and raised in Massillon, Ohio, Joy now resides in Westerville, Ohio, with her husband. And we're going to get the contact information, and you're going to want that because I've been reading this book, and it's really written well, and it's a powerful message. Again, the book's title is My Shadows of Death. And I want to just read the scriptures that she shares at the foreword of the book. Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And also in Philippians chapter 1, where it reads, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places," Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. You know, I want to read this script from this poet because it made me think about the book My Shadows of Death by Joy. And it reads this, "I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. And I walked a mile with sorrow, but never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." That's a poem from Robert Browning. Joy Burney, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be able to be with you today.
Well, this book that you've written, is this your first book?
Yes, my first book, and probably my only book.
Well,
it's a lot of work.
Well, yes, it is. A book is a lot of work, and you know, you really have organized your thoughts well in this book, and you tell a wonderful story. In fact, everything that everybody wanted to know about the Burneys are in this book. It's a very transparent book, and it tells your life story and ministry and your personal journey in Christ, and I think that's what's so really transparent and beautiful about the book. But at the same time, there's some very painful realities in this book, and you're very transparent about that. And I think it's going to help those who have suffered a sexual abuse in their past and how that's been a dark shadow over their life. And this book, this book is a transparent testimony, and is very bravely and with courage you have told the story. But I think it's one that needs to be told. Obviously, you and Bob both contemplated that before you put pen to paper and begin to tell this story. Tell us about how that came about, how you finally decided to put this story to the public.
Well, many years ago, I took out a yellow legal pad, and I thought, if I ever wrote a book about my life, what would I include? And I started with death of, and I just started filling in the blanks. And then I put the legal pad away and didn't even look at it for several years. Then Bob went out of the country for an extended period of time with his travels. And I thought, you know what? I've got all this time. I'm going to lock myself here in the house. I don't have any responsibilities, and I'm going to write my book. So I took it out, and God just began flowing through me to pen the book. And it was painful. It was hard. I would have to write, and I'd walk away from it, and then I'd come back and write some more. And I wanted to be so careful in my wording so as not to step over the line, but to give God all the glory.
Amen. You know, chapter one starts the death of sin, and you talk about your family's history in Massillon, Ohio, and it's you were the youngest of three children. And there's a beautiful picture that you paint of the store that your parents owned and the customers that came and went and your involvement as a little girl with the community and the customers that came and went. And it was really a beautiful picture, actually. And I get the idea from, you know, the opening chapter that you were really the apple of your parents' eye and your ability to be a showman very early as a little girl. And I think that plays out. And so that's a beautiful picture that you portray with your relationship with your family and, of course, with the folks that came and went. And then, of course, your church life very early on. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. My parents were very active in the church, and my mom is the one who actually led me to the Lord in our home. And but we were always at church anytime the doors were open. And one Sunday night, I went forward to make it public that I had asked Jesus to come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. And I remember I took my doll with me to church because I love dolls. But after that time, when I went forward to make that public of my decision, I never took my doll again. Not because I didn't love my doll, but just because I wanted to concentrate more on the messages and learn all I could about the Lord.
You know, one of the beautiful pictures that is painted early in the book is when your dad put you up on the counter in the store and you used to do a little dance for some of the customers that came in. And it just gave me an idea of like a little Shirley Temple, actually, and, you know, to delight of your father, obviously, and everybody that came in. It's a beautiful picture of that. And then, as you said, as you would attend church, you would bring your baby dolls with you, and you had a large collection of them. But then once you accepted Christ, it became very personable for you. So it wasn't just going to activity at church, but now you're going to learn and to get to know Jesus. Tell us about that.
Yes, and I became very active in our youth group and our missions group and just everything about the church I wanted to be a part of. And even as I got into junior high and everything, I just always felt that sometime down the line, God was going to allow me to be a pastor's wife. And sure enough, that happened. So I'm very thankful for that. I met Bob, and he was in the studying for the ministry. So been in the church work, and I couldn't be happier with all of that.
Well, I made some notes here from the early going in the book, and I have three thoughts, the letter, the quote, and the verse. And I'd like to talk about the letter because early in chapter two, the death of purity, you talk about an exercise that the youth leader had that at church and had everyone write a letter to their parents, and that it was a letter that was going to be kept for 10 years. In fact, it was writing a letter to your parents of where you thought you would be doing and where you would be in 10 years. Tell us about that.
Yes. We were studying the prophets, and she said, okay, we're going to prophesy today. And she said, I want you to write a letter and tell us what you think you'll be doing in 10 years. And I wrote my letter and said that I would be married to a young pastor and that we would be working at church and youth and music. And then we were to put that in an envelope, and it was sent to our parents and our addressed to our parents. And then the teacher kept those letters. And then when the 10 years was up, she sent it to our parents. And then my parents forwarded it to me at college. And when I opened it up, I couldn't believe it, because there I was getting ready to marry this pastor. And we were going into youth work and music and everything. And I just knew that God's hand had been upon me all this time and had preserved me for that.
You know, that's a really neat thing, because the teacher had actually passed away, but before she did, she sent the letters out 10 years after you wrote those in the youth group. And, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so that was a great exercise. And I wrote a little note here, the letter. And 10 years later, you opened that up, and that's exactly what's happening in your life. I just thought, you know, the providence of God, you know, and the good and the goodness of the Lord, how he directs us. You know, I'm looking at your high school years, and you had some good years in high school, and then you sang. You had the honor to sing at your baccalaureate service there at in Massillon at the high school, and that was a great honor. Tell us about that.
Well, I tried to always keep my testimony for the Lord in through high school, and because of that, I believe the Lord honored me in those different ways and gave me opportunities to use my voice for him. And I used to sing all over the city, and people would know that I was a Christian and that I loved the Lord, and that the Lord had given me that talent. Then I could use it for him and for his glory.
Obviously, you were gifted and, you know, in singing and in public, and the Lord was going to use that in your ministry. Now, you were discussing with your mother where you should go to school after high school.
Yes.
And so tell us how that ended up being Bob Jones University.
Well, I had never heard of Bob Jones University, and my mom said, okay, we're going to send your test scores, your SAT and all of those scores off to three different colleges. And wherever we hear from first, that is where we will believe that the Lord is going to send you. And so I said, okay, that sounds good to me. So one of those colleges was Bob Jones. My mom had known of a pastor's wife that had gone there and had majored in music, and she knew it was a good college. She didn't know anything else about it. But so one day my mom picked me up from school and said, well, guess what? You got your acceptance letter from Bob Jones. And I said, wonderful. So that's where I'll be going. And I just accepted it, you know, and I was happy as could be. And then my parents took me down to Bob Jones and dropped me off, and of course stayed for a week because I was too scared to be by myself. But, and the rest is history. I loved the school, even though there were, you know, some more legalistic things there at the school in that time of year, those years.
And this is, of course, but, during the 60s, you actually attended.
Yeah. So they were very, very strict then. But I had grown up in a home that honored authority. So I didn't know anything else except to honor the authority there. And I felt I got stifled there for a little bit, my personality. But all it came out in the end because, you know, I knew God was in all of this. And I just wanted to bring him glory.
You know, in the book, you write a quote that from Dr. Bob Jones, and this is the quote: "A man may be saved in an instant, but it takes a lifetime to develop the Christian character." That's actually a really good quote because, you know, we like to say that we are saved. We're in the process of being saved, and we shall be saved, that it's a process, that we're saved at the moment that we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And then we walk with him, and we learn as a disciple of Christ how to be more like him, and then ultimately the consummation of salvation. So it's very akin to the statement again, a man may be saved in an instant, but it takes a lifetime to develop Christian character. And that's kind of the theme of your book, because when you talk about the shadows of death, you talk about the things that you've dealt with in life, and an incident that took place with someone who you trusted but violated that trust. And if we'd be injustice if we didn't talk about that, because that does cast a shadow upon your life. Tell us about that. What happened?
Yes, that was the quote that I do in the book is the one that I chose to. I was chosen to speak at our graduation service at Bob Jones, and we were allowed to pick a quote, and that quote has always been one of my favorites, because it does take all of that to develop in our lives and live for the Lord, and we learn every day more about him. But anyways, my seventh grade teacher took advantage of me, and I was very naive and very young. And
you were a Christian at this time. You had already
accepted. I was a Christian.
You were,
yeah.
Yep, and you were babysitting his children, right? Him and his wife's children.
Yeah, babysit his children, and so I did. And then one night, he came home first, and the children were asleep and everything, and he lured me into a back room and asked me to sit on his lap, and I had no idea what was going on and what was happening. And those were in the days before cell phones or anything else. And so I was extremely taken advantage of, and it totally affected my life in ways that I can't even share, you know, because it was just so devastating to me. But I never told anyone, because I knew my parents would be so sad. And I never told Bob until many years after we were married. And it just affected our life too, you know. But and those were the days before that you could even report things like that. You didn't report. Now today you can report things like that, and I'm so thankful for that. But that was a very deep shadow of death for me.
You know, Joy, as I read the beginning of your book, you were just a little girl with a lot of joy and a lot of the desire for life, and you were the joy of your parents. And then as they were churchgoers, and then they attended a Baptist evangelical church, and then it came to a point in which you heard the message and you wanted to receive Jesus, and you did, and you turned your life over to him. And then as you were going through middle school, then this incident happens out of nowhere. And the Bible says the adulteress seeks for the precious life. The enemy has a plan. God has a plan for our lives, but the enemy also is seeking to disrupt and to destroy that plan if he can. He can't ultimately, if we put our faith and trust in Christ. And that's what you portray in this book in a very transparent way. And I think it's very brave of you to share those things. But there's so many people listening to the program today, they've experienced that in their life. And there's some women that are listening to us right now that have experienced that, or some men when they were children, when they were young, that they were sexually abused. And they've never told anyone. They've carried that awful secret around with them. And, you know, even as Christians, when they've accepted Christ, this has been at times depression for them, the shadows of death, as you discuss in your book. You know, the way that your book is written, it reminds me of another author, actually, and this may be a compliment to you, I hope it is, Hannah Harnard, who wrote the book,
oh my goodness,
Hinds Feet on High Places and Mountains of Spices and other books. You know, I so love those books when I was a young Christian, because she talks in this allegory of these troubles and trials of the Christian and pitfalls and the valleys of darkness, but yet the Lord brings us up on our high places. He has a pathway for us. And so your book is writing in a little bit of that spirit. It kind of reminded me of Hannah Harnard's books, and I think our listeners would really enjoy that, those who have read her books. But tell us what you think that people that are listening to us right now, what do they need to do if this has happened in their life? What was your pathway for healing?
Well, my pathway for healing, every death in my book is followed by resurrection. Because, you know, death always precedes resurrection, and resurrection always follows death. So every death, you know, by looking at my title page and the cover of my book, you would think, oh, it's a scary book, or maybe she had a near-death experience or something like that. And none of that is true. It's just the autobiography, like we've been talking about, of the shadows of death. And so every death, I follow up with a resurrection. And that, for that chapter two, death of purity, my resurrection is through forgiveness. And that's exactly what I did. My husband and I drove up to Maslin. We knew exactly where this teacher lived and still lived there. And I sat in front of his house in our car, and I poured out all of my heart and all of my hurt and all of my shame. And then I said, I took a deep breath and I said, yes, Mr. So-and-so, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And I opened up my car door and I let all of the tragedy go out on the curb. And we thanked Jesus and we drove off. And I've never been the same since. None of that has bothered me.
Amen.
I mean, it still hurts to talk about it, but I don't dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
And my healing has come through forgiveness. And I'll go ahead and say, in the book, I tried to share various helpful hints of how you might come through some of these deaths through forgiveness, through acceptance, through trust, and so forth.
Mm.
Through the resurrections that I share in my book, I try to give very helpful hints or suggestions of how you can face these situations. And even if that person's not alive anymore, you can still forgive that person.
Yes.
You can write a letter and pour your whole heart out and then destroy the letter. You know, no one will ever see it, and destroy it, burn it, bury it, whatever. But just as you see it going down to be buried, or if you see it going up in flames, you put through it in a fire, there goes your hurt and your shame and your pain. And you can accept the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for the other person, and just allow God to keep you in the center of His will, so that you're not hindered by that shadow anymore, and you can go forth in His service.
Well, that's powerful. All of our healing and all who we are is in Jesus.
Yes.
And his healing power. Joy, that's such a beautiful story of forgiveness and release and
yes.
and letting it go, forgiving the person, not just yes. letting go for letting go's sake, but forgiving them.
Yes.
Even as Christ has forgiven us, the Bible says, and being
right.
set free and being liberated. You know, there's people that are listening right now and they've heard this message. And this is a powerful book, this testimony. Again, we're talking with Joy Birney and her book, My Shadows of Death. Joy, how can they get the book and how can they contact Cross Power Ministries?
Cross Power Ministries, the email my email is joy, J-O-Y, at crosspower.net. And then Cross Power Ministries, our website is crosspower.net, and they can keep up with us there.
Can they get the book online too? Can they purchase the
yes,
book?
Yes, you can get the book if you go to the store up at the very top. Says store, and you can click on that. But my last name is Joy Forgan Birney.
Joy, thank you so much for coming on the program today. This has been a delight, and it's a powerful book. And we're going to make it available on our website, the links, so people can get it as well at our website. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And the Lord bless your ministry with Bob and Cross Power Ministries. And we look forward to see you down the road. God bless you, my sister.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, that's Joy Birney. Her book is My Shadows of Death. We'll have information on our website as well. And if you've missed part of this interview, you can hear it in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do.
And we're back, and we're going to continue our book review as we're going to talk with our good friend Steve Krause, who wrote a book this last year, Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption. Just before we get to Steve, I want to give you an opportunity to go on to our website and sign the online petition supporting the Covington Catholic High School students. Last Tuesday, we held a press conference in Cincinnati on Fountain Square in support of the high school students, as you remember, who became part of a national narrative and an attack by counter-protesters at the March for Life on the Lincoln Memorial steps. These Christian students were there participating in the March for Life and then became the targets of a hate campaign. Well, that elevated to more of a serious nature with threats being brought against the students and the school. Our press conference, we called for the FBI and the Justice Department to investigate the serious nature of the threats that were brought against the students and their school. The school had to close down by officials and local law enforcement due to the threats that came into the school a week ago Monday. Later that week, the athletic programs were suspended again for concerns of security, and two families were doxxed. That's their addresses and identities were revealed out on the open internet, and that's going to be investigated. But they had to leave their homes because of security concerns, and we received a call back from the FBI office after our appeal. We sent letters overnight to the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., then again to the field office in Cincinnati and the field office in Kentucky. We did receive response back from the FBI that they are working with local law enforcement and assured us that they are pursuing an investigation. So there may be charges being filed in the coming days or weeks in regard to the Covington Catholic High School students, their rights being violated, and threats against these minors. If you'd like to sign the online petition, just go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website. That's ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance, and right at the top of the page, you can see the link to sign the online petition. People have done that from all across the country. As our parent organization, Christian Alliance of America, we've put that out there on national radio programs as well, and people are signing it from all across the country. But join the petition pledge if you would, and share it with other people. Again, supporting the Covington Catholic High School students. Thank you very much. Now let's go to Steve Krause, our good friend, again, who wrote a book this last year. Steve is a former state representative. Recently, he was a candidate for Congress in the 9th Congressional District as a Republican. And the book Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption. Steve actually won as state representative in the 89th District, unseating Chris Redfern, who was the chairman also of the Democratic Party. It was a major upset in 2014. Many people didn't see it coming, but Steve actually, as a former veteran, strong Christian and conservative, actually won over the hearts and minds of the people in the 89th as he went out. He's a very hard campaigner, talked to a lot of folks, shook a lot of hands, and engaged with them. They were tired of the status quo, and they elected him in 2014. But unfortunately, that's not where the story stops, as Steve began to serve in the Ohio House of Representatives, actually supporting a number of pieces of legislation that we were working on at the time as well, pro-life, pro-family legislation. There was a political hit job that was had a target on his back, and we're going to talk about that today in his book, Checkmate. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Chris. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, my friend. And, you know, this story of yours is really, it's not done. You know, as our lives are entwined with the will of God. And I believe that even as we saw in the State of the Union address last night, the man that stood up with criminal sentencing reform, you know, of course, that was someone who went through the process and people were seeing that. Your case, you're an innocent man that was railroaded by local courts that were politically motivated. We're convinced of that. We believe you in this because we've looked at the evidence and it just didn't stack up, especially when they pursued a criminal charge because one of the side businesses you do is that you're an auctioneer. And tell us a little bit about that, how that all transpired and how it was politically motivated hit job against you.
Well, first of all, I just really appreciate all that you do and that the Ohio Christian Alliance does. And I want you to know that I went on and signed the petition for the Covington Catholic High School boys as well.
Thank you.
And I do encourage all your listeners to do that. One of the things that, and I actually wear my MAGA hat in solidarity with them. One of the things that I got out of the State of the Union address last night was how much our president, and I don't know if you felt this or not, Chris, but I really just felt the presence of God, how much he invoked God and the greatness of America and the founding of our country and why we are a Judeo-Christian country and why we have the freedom and liberty. You know, we're born free. And, you know, when he was talking about abortion and stuff, and I know that's not the purpose of this conversation, no, but I was so inspired by the president last night, and I just wanted to say that so that your listeners knew that God is on the move, and God is not done with America yet. And I'm, you know, even in the trials and the tribulations I've been going through in my book, Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption, there is a path that God has for each one of us. You asked me how this started. Well, you and I have a long history. You remember back in 2011, I actually came to a training program that Ohio Christian Alliance had helped put on about how to run for a political office. At that time,
yes,
I was interested in running for Congress. And I actually did run in the 2012 primary, Republican primary, and if you remember, I ran against Joe the Plumber, who was the party pick. And long story short, I didn't win that primary, but I did exceptionally well. So in 2014, I had pulled petitions, and I was getting ready to run for Congress again because I'm a former military. I was 11 years active duty Air Force, another 7 years as a contractor. I traveled all around the world. I was in the first Gulf War. I was with Special Forces for the Air Force. And I'm a federal guy. I'm a national guy. So we were tip of the spear when I was in Special Forces. So I knew national issues. So I pulled all my petitions to run for Congress in 2014 when the local Erie County Republican Party approached me about running against running for state rep against the incumbent, Chris Redford. Now, I honestly didn't know who Chris was, and I really didn't care. I just wasn't interested in going to Columbus because I didn't know much about Columbus. I'd never really been to Columbus. So I said no. I actually told him no several times. I got on the phone with Columbus, and I told them no. And then a couple good friends told me this was the race for you. And I said, okay, I will sit down. Now, I know you've never argued with God, but I said, okay, I'm going to pray about this. And for a week and a half, I prayed well, actually, I argued with God. And I'm like, God, do you want me to do this? And he'd say, yes. And I'd say, wait a minute, I'm not sure I heard you. So the next day I'd ask him again. Well, after a week and a half of that, 3 days before the deadline, I threw away all my signatures for the congressional race, and I got enough signatures together, and it was in a snowstorm, to get on the state ballot to run for state representative against Chris Redfern. Now, at that time, all my friends had told me not to do it. They said, he's the devil incarnate, he's going to destroy you and all this stuff. Well, after you've been under fire, after you've had Scud missiles shot at you and things like that, you know, don't worry about things like that too much. So I took on this race, and then God started to show me why he wanted me to run this race. And through the course of it, I got involved early in April of 2014, because this is all in 2014 now.
Yes.
I was asked, I'm a realtor auctioneer, and I was asked to go look at some property over in Danbury Township in Ottawa County, which is where Chris Redfern's from. That's where he lives. I lived in Erie County. The 89th Ohio House District is made up of the two counties, Erie and Ottawa County. I lived in Erie County, which is the bigger county, and Ottawa was the smaller one. A lot of people might know it by the islands and stuff. It's vacation land. And I was asked to look at some antiques for a possible auction by a fellow realtor. So I went over there two different days on two different occasions, and with permission, did what my fiduciary duties to help facilitate a possible sale for another realtor who had this woman who's had some valuables or antiques that thought that and she wanted them sold. And later, I got accused of stealing items from that house. But the accusations didn't come out until the end of September of 2014, right in time for a, guess what, October surprise. So when that happened, and by the way, the Ottawa County prosecutor just so happened to be a good long-term Democrat friend of my opponent, Chris Redfern, who also not only was the incumbent, but he had also been, you know, he's the chairman of the Ohio Democrat Party at the time. He was the most powerful Democrat in Ohio at the time. And he was a former county commissioner for a number of years. You know, he was very powerful in Ottawa County. So when this came out the end of September, I took a lie detector test and passed it. And then the prosecutor, because the county prosecutor said he had a conflict. So he was shopping this out to special prosecutors. That's how they do it. Somebody who didn't have a conflict. Well, the second special prosecutor in my case said, there's nothing here and I'm not going to recommend charges. Well, that wasn't good enough. So then they went and got a third special prosecutor and they tried to indict me before the election, but they couldn't get it done because the judge recused himself from the case. Now, I know this gets real busy, but here's the bottom line. God intervened supernaturally. They were not allowed to indict me. So then the last 2 weeks of the election, Redfern had to run a race because up to that point, he'd never done anything. He just sat back on his laurels. On election night, I got a call from my campaign manager and said, I got bad news for you, Steve. You lost Erie County by 1,000 votes. Well, I was devastated. That's the biggest county. You got to win the bigger county to win the race. But then, about an hour later, I got a call from O'Rourke from Columbus, and they said, Steve, are you seeing these results? And I said, no, what are you seeing? We're seeing that you won by 1,000 votes. And I said, no, I lost by 1,000 votes. They said, no, you won by 1,000 votes. We just confirmed with Secretary of State Houston's office. I said, but I lost Erie County by 1,000 votes. They said, yeah, but you won Ottawa County, the smaller county, by 2,000 votes.
Wow.
Isn't that the hand of God?
Yes. Well, yeah, absolutely. And that was a big shock that night, because this is a Democratic district by all count. And Chris Redfern was the chairman of the Democratic Party. He was slated for big things. And here you were the spoiler. You unseated in a very unlikely upset that night. And it was the shot that was heard around the state. And there were people that were taking credit for that, that really had no business at all. I knew that when the Republican Party of Ohio and the chairman at that time was saying that Matt Borges was claiming, I thought, you did nothing in this race. Now, we know that we do voter guides all across the state. You've helped to distribute those voter guides, Steve. You were one of our volunteers. We knew how hard you worked, and we knew that the faith vote came out to support you as well. But it was a big shock that night when Chris Redfern lost to Steve Krause. Tell us about that, what it was like.
Oh, on election night, right after the state got off the phone, my phone blew up. Congressman Jim Jordan called me, who had helped me. Just a myriad of people from Columbus and congratulatory calls. And it was wonderful. And even Matt Borges called me up and said, you know, Steve, he says, they tried to take credit for this down in Columbus. He says, but I went up there and said, we didn't win this race. He said, Steve Krause won this race.
Well,
and I really give the glory to God.
Yeah, that's right.
It was really God. Well, I was a walk-on, Chris, very similar to what Trump did in 2016. I just did it 2 years earlier. I was running against a very powerful incumbent. I wasn't supposed to win. The party really didn't help me. I was the dog and pony show. They promised me money. They promised me polling. They promised me all this stuff. They didn't do it. And I won in spite of that. So once I won, then the opposition, which I believe was Chris Redfern and the third special prosecutor, and there was others, got into full gear to get me indicted. And 19 days after I won the election, I won the election on the 4th. So on the 19th of November, they indicted me on 3 felony counts for theft from an elderly person. And then all hell came against me on social media, and I got tweets all the time. There was this Dump Krause website. They wanted me to resign and not take my seat. And there was even some, for a while, Chris Redfern somehow thought that if I stepped down, because he was the second top vote getter, that the Republicans would appoint him to the seat, which was ludicrous.
Well, let me just say something. I've been doing politics for over 20 years downstate, and I've seen a lot and heard a lot. But I have to say that Chris Redfern's meltdown on live camera that night, now hear me out, was the most shocking I've ever seen. The man literally fell apart. He was the spokesman for the Democratic Party in Ohio, but he personally lost, and he was at the State House when he did this meltdown, and I've never seen it or heard anything like it since. It was really unbelievable. But so this man was livid. He was almost out of body, so anger about the whole thing. And then what we see now, Steve, is that there were some very suspicious activities in that county with these charges being filed against you. The testimony that was shady to begin with, and they didn't have specifics of what you actually took until later.
Right.
Then they started to itemize and say, well, this is gone, and we saw him carrying items from the house, but you're an auctioneer, and you were given a permission by the realtor to go in and to take some things for auction, but then she reneged on that and said, no, I never said that. Tell us about that part of the story.
Well, you're exactly right. And just to your point, on November 4th, I won the election, November 4th of 2014. On November 12th, I now have a document, an actual email from Chris Redfern to the county prosecutor of Ottawa County, asking him when the Krause case will be handled. Now, that's clearly asking for secret grand jury information. And that's a violation. And he has no business. He's not a victim. He's not a witness. He has no business asking that. He's not a part of this investigation at all. And the county prosecutor turns around and says, well, I don't know. But here's the special prosecutor's private cell phone number. Now, that was on the 12th of November, which is exactly 7 days before they indicted me. Do you think if we pulled those phone records, we'd find out that Chris Redfern actually talked to the special prosecutor and they were colluding, because we hear the word colluding all the time, conspiring to get me indicted because they want, you know, he was so vengeful?
Has that ever been discovered, Steve, whether he had contact with this prosecutor directly?
I can't get back in court to subpoena those phone records.
Oh, my.
That's the problem. Nobody will let me back in court. If they let me back in court, I'll subpoena those phone records. I can prove it. But to your question earlier, you asked about the testimony. I have new evidence. Not only did they withhold a Brady violation, they withheld evidence from me. There's documents that were missing that they did not give me, that the state didn't give me. They violated my constitutional rights. But I have a new witness who came forward. Now, here's another act of God. I get a call on my birthday in July of 2017. And this woman says, I have a friend it's really been bothering her. We go to church together, and she's going to call you tomorrow, and she has information about your case. I said, great. So the next day, on the 29th of July, I get a call from a woman named Ann Cho, and she tells me how she worked at the HUD housing development place where the homeowner lived, and she was present when the homeowner was giving the realtor permission to let me be in the house. Now, remember, the realtor under oath testified numerous times, at least like 20 or 30 times, that she never gave me permission to go in the house. Well, this woman heard her tell the realtor to give me permission to go into the house. But I can't get it into court to present it because they won't give me a new hearing.
We're talking with Steve Krause. The book is Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption. We'll be right back after this message. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
The book is Checkmate. The author is Steve Krause. He's with us on the phone. We're talking about one man's fight against political corruption. Steve won the 89th House seat back in 2014, 7 months later, because of a corruption trial, as they were accusing him as an auctioneer that he had stolen items from one of the realtor's clients. He was charged, sentenced with a felony, and had to leave office. Steve is a strong conservative Christian. This was a case in which it was a political hit job. He did not receive a free trial, according to many in the opinion, and we're in of that opinion, and that he needed to receive a retrial. And that's been a long, arduous process, because here we are now some years later. Steve is still trying to get his day in court to clear his name. So, Steve, we know that this was a political hit job from the beginning, and there's a lot of people that want to look the other way, and the court system wants this was solidified with the court case. Some things could have, you know, as you say now that you have testimony, you have records that you'd like to subpoena. There's collusion if there was involvement by Chris Redfern himself with local officials, as he was previously the state rep and also the chairman of the Democratic Party of Ohio. There's some questions surrounding that. and that this was politically motivated in this trial, as you were an auctioneer, and then they claimed theft, and that with they even applied federal or felonies rather than misdemeanors. Tell us about that part of the trial.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to have a felony to get me out of office, because this was always about the getting out of office. There's and listen, before I get into that, you can go to www.buycheckmate.com. That's www.buycheckmate.com, and that'll take you straight to Amazon, or you can just go to Amazon and purchase the book. Here's what the listeners need to understand. On the April 24th, which was my trial was July 21st, so several months before my trial, Chris Redfern tweeted a picture of himself joyriding out here in Lake Erie on retired visiting judge Dale Crawford, the judge on my case, on his boat. Now, do you think that's a conflict? He's riding around on the judge's boat that's going to sit in judgment on my case, and Chris Redfern and him are best buddies over here at the Catawba Island Club, and they had been for a number of years. They had the same type of boat, the Sea Ray. The other thing that's interesting about this is the state had three felony charges against me. I was looking at facing a possible 8 to 10 years, but twice they offered me a plea deal where all I had to do, they would drop all 8 to 10 years. They would drop it to diversion, a slap on the hand, if I just resigned my state seat. They didn't want my auction license. They didn't want my real estate license. They wanted the power back that I took. The swamp wanted the power back because I won that state seat.
The book is Checkmate, One Man's Fight Against Political Corruption, our good friend Steve Krause. And you can get this book on Amazon. Steve, we've run out of time. Thank you for coming on the program today. We're with you, my friend, and we hope that there will be an opportunity for you to get your dignity back through the courts. We'll be praying for that. Steve Krause.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me. God bless.
Absolutely, my friend. Again, Steve Krause, the book is Checkmate, and you can find it on Amazon. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.